This sermon is brought to you by Shofar East London, together living out the fullness of Christ. We hope you enjoy this message.
It is such a privilege to have Nastasha here. She is, for me, like first fruits of a prophetic word that we have received for us as a church. We felt the Lord say that this church is an apostolic center. And how I interpret that, it means like God's going to raise up fivefold ministers through this church. And so Nastasha was here 7 years ago. She and her husband, they were here for 2 years. And in those 2 years, God brought an acceleration in her walk with God and in her journey of becoming an evangelist. And she's really walking in it currently. She's training churches in reaching the lost. And we had an incredible meeting yesterday. And we went out. There's just such a beautiful fire and anointing, Holy Spirit fire upon her life. And in her stepping out ministry, one-on-one, she's led like more than 200 people to Christ. She's really living it. And I just love her infectious passion for Jesus. And as we did a video interview on Friday afternoon, I was so inspired. I was like, I just want to run out and go tell the whole world about Jesus. That's what she does to you, you know. So we had it in the first service, and I believe you're going to receive some fire, some passion for the lost. Amen. So let's put our hands together. Let's welcome Nastasha Kotze, evangelist. We are so proud of what she's doing. Go for it.
Thank you, Andre. The Lord is here. The Holy Spirit is here. He is awakening our hearts to hunger after Him. He's going to do exceedingly abundantly above even what He did in the first service, which was incredible. So Holy Spirit is here. Yeah, during worship, I just saw Jesus on that cross, and I just saw every knee bowing to King Jesus, every tongue confessing. I've never seen that picture before, but I saw it. And how amazing that in this life we get to be a part of them that bow our knee to Jesus in this life. He is King. We are His reward. Him dying on that cross when we stand on Judgment Day one day. He is on that cross. He's resurrected, yes, but He went to that cross because we are His reward. Thank you, Jesus. So, I'm Nastasha, and I know many of you. This is home to me. I don't know many of you, so I'm just going to introduce myself. Stefan and I, we've been married for 7 years. I don't know if there's that picture. There's our beautiful daughter, Lily. And just after Stefan and I got married, we came and we lived here for 2 years. I thought Stefan and I are like exactly the same. Then I realized we are so opposite. And you know, when it comes to the fivefold giftings, like it speaks of in Ephesians 4, like Stefan is pastoral, prophetic. He loves people. He makes them feel valued, listened to, safe. And then he hears God's word for them. He speaks into their hearts and it brings transformation. It's amazing. I am 100% eat, breathe, and sleep the lost getting saved. And so, you know, but the gift started rubbing off on us as we were in this church, and Andre and Sonika started, you know, just cultivating how beautiful all the gifts are. It started growing, and I was like, wow, even when I minister to the lost, I can value them, I can listen to them. And Stefan, he now has more of that eternal perspective that when he's with his family members, his work colleagues, he also shares the gospel with them because he realizes they need to be saved for eternity. And so the gifts were meant to be inclusive. It's not, this is your gift, but I can't do this. They're meant to rub off on us as a church so that in Ephesians 4, we can represent Jesus more fully to the world out there. And so the gifts are for everyone. Hallelujah. So, what I always love to tell people about Nastasha, the most important thing about me is that 19 years ago, Jesus saved me when I was 18 years old. And since that day, I've had a burning passion for the lost to be saved. I grew up in a Christian home where my mom read Bible to me. I believed in Jesus. I believed that he died on the cross. Then I went to high school and I started doing what the people around me were doing. I started smoking, drinking, partying, drugs, men, cutting myself. I lived that lifestyle full out for years, but I didn't know who I really am on the inside, and I didn't know what life is all about. Years later, when I was 18 years old, I went to church again for the first time in years, and that night I met Jesus. It was like this life, this overwhelming life flooded me on the inside, and I knew this is Jesus and that he's real. And I got born again that night, like the Bible talks about. I just said, Jesus, forgive me for all the stuff I've been doing. And he didn't just forgive the actions and the thought of sin. He ripped out the root of sin that we've all been born with, and he nailed it to that cross, and he came to live on the inside of me. And it's been 19 years now that I have that life of Jesus on the inside of me. It's incredible. And so freely I have received Jesus, and freely I get to give him to the world out there, as it says in Matthew 10. The core of each of our testimony, if you are born again, is that he has wiped away all your sin and he's given you eternal life. Hallelujah. And now you get to share this with your work colleagues that's not yet born again, with your family members that's not yet born again, with your exercise buddies, with the parents of the other parents at school, your kids, you know what I mean. You get to share Jesus freely with the people around you. Hallelujah. Now, in Luke 19, verse 10, it tells us that the whole reason Jesus came to this earth, the reason why he died on that cross, says his mission and purpose was to seek and to save the lost. And so when we get born again, we receive the same DNA, the same mission and purpose as Jesus, to seek and to save the lost. That's our main mission as a church globally. And you know, it's such an amazing time to be alive right now, because the Lord globally is awakening the church's heart again to outside the walls of the church, to outside our comfort, what's happening in our lives here, we that are already born again, and he's shifting our heart's focus again to the lost out there. And all across the globe right now, there's testimonies of young and old believers being equipped. We just want to know how to preach the simple gospel. And we're seeing the harvest coming in by the masses. It's an incredible time to be alive. Hallelujah. And so I believe the Lord wants to add to this house and the church of East London daily, those who are coming to salvation. He has poured out his blood for this whole city. East London shall be saved. But we need every one of you. And so I just want to share a few testimonies from this week. On Tuesday, I was out in a shopping center. I walked past the lady on my way to the bathroom. I just felt the tug of the Holy Spirit, that gentle whisper. Go to her, share Jesus with her. So I just share his love with her, my testimony, the gospel. She's been going to church. She believes in Jesus, but she is not born again. She's not saved. And so I got to pray with her, and she received forgiveness of sin and eternal life that day. Hallelujah. I went to sit, praise Jesus. I went to sit in a coffee shop, Bootleggers, and I look at the one waitress, and I'm like, I haven't shared Jesus with this waitress yet. And these words just start popping in my head. Again, just like random thoughts, just like a whisper. And I actually feel intimidated in that moment to start speaking to her. Because in this coffee shop, I've shared Jesus with all the waiters and other people. And it's just like, it felt like the other waiters are like glaring. What's she going to do? And I felt intimidated. And I just felt the Holy Spirit say, when I put the thought in your head, that's when you must obey. You don't get to choose when's the right moment. And so I was like, okay, call her. And I'm like, do you play sport? Yes. Do you have an injury recently in your ankle? Yes. It's causing you not to be able to play right now? Yes. It was hockey? Yes. This is creepy, she says. And I'm like, wow, the Lord is really speaking specifically. One of the most specific words I've heard him speak to someone. It was amazing. And we pray for her ankle. The presence of Jesus floods that coffee shop. And it was amazing. There's been a few people getting born again, a young couple, 14 and 16 year old, on Thursday that received salvation, hallelujah. And then yesterday, we had the evangelism boot camp, and if we can put that picture over there, we were about 60 people that had equipping on how to share the gospel with the people here in East London. We hit Hemingway's Mall, and it was so amazing. Afterwards, we just shared the testimonies of all the Lord had done. We saw 30 people yesterday receive salvation, hallelujah, and what I love to see, and this is what I see every time I take a group out onto the streets, into malls, nightclubs, people that have never done this before, so afraid. When they come back and they share, there was a lady and a man that just started sharing yesterday. They said, I was so afraid. I almost didn't go on the outreach. But this boldness came upon me as I started sharing Jesus. And then this one gets saved. And then I went to this person. And this person, I gave their lives to Jesus. And they couldn't stop speaking about all the Lord has done. And so it's really true. And non-witnessing believer is an unhappy believer. But a witnessing believer is a happy believer. When he starts to flow in and through you and you see lives transformed, it's incredible. This is for everyone. Each of us can lead others to eternal life. Now, it says in Matthew 9, 37 to 38. Oh, wait, I want to share one more testimony with you. I have to share this testimony. Can you go to the next picture? Thank you. This was yesterday. It was so special. This is a German man on holiday in South Africa. We went to share Jesus with him yesterday. And I don't think he had ever heard the gospel before. When I started sharing with him, it was like it was foreign to him. But you know, the power of Jesus and his gospel is you don't need to understand it your whole life in your mind. It is supernatural when you start speaking it. You get convicted of sin. He was like running away from things for, I think, the past few years in his life. And then he hears about this Jesus who wants to remove that weight of sin and running in his life and wants to fill him with life, forgiveness, eternal life. And so he goes from probably not hearing the gospel ever to then receiving Jesus in that moment. And it was so special for me. Jesus wants to do this through each of us. It says in Matthew 9, 37 to 38, Jesus was speaking to the disciples and he said, the harvest is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out more laborers into the harvest fields. This harvest that the verse is speaking about is not for 1 week in a year when you go into a poor community and your focus is on the lost. This harvest that this verse is speaking of is the person in your family that's not yet born again. Your work colleague that's not yet born again. Your exercise buddies at the gym, jogging buddies that's not yet born again. The people we meet with, the cashiers in the shops, the waitresses, that's not yet born again. This is the harvest that's great that we meet with every day that this verse is speaking of. And then Jesus says, but the laborers are few. Who are these laborers? It's you and I who are born again, who's freely received Jesus. The verse is saying that those who freely choose to intentionally share the gospel with others, witness Jesus, pray for people with them to become born again. It's saying those who have freely received and choose to freely give it are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send forth more believers into the harvest fields. And so I want to pray with us. Jesus, I thank you that the people in East London are ready. They're ready for the weight of sin to be removed. They're ready to be forgiven all their sin. They're ready for addictions, depression, and fears to be broken off of their lives. They're ready to receive salvation. They're ready to receive your love, your life. They're ready to be reconciled back to the Father. But the laborers are few, and so I ask you right now, Lord of the harvest, I know you're raising up laborers in this church and in the church of East London, and I ask you right now to sound the call in this place through my voice for laborers. Who will be a laborer in the harvest fields? Not for a week, not for a month, not for seasons. Who will sign up to labor in the harvest fields daily so that you can take many people with you to heaven one day? And so I ask you, ignite hearts right now with a fresh, burning passion in their hearts for the lost to be saved. You are the Lord of the harvest. Ignite our hearts with that passion, the same passion as Jesus. Raise up laborers here today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I just feel the Lord saying that this is his burden, this is his heart, and we can't make ourselves have that, but we can have a desire for him to put that in our hearts today. And so if this is happening in your head right now, I want this, I don't feel it, the Holy Spirit is the Lord of the harvest, he's going to come and burn in your heart. I don't burn every day just like this, just because I'm amazing. I ask him, Jesus, Holy Spirit, give me a desire today when I leave this house to see the people in front of me. To value them. Give me your heart. My focus is on other things right now. I don't feel it here. Give me a heart for your lost. He's going to do it in your heart this morning. It's his work. Now, even though I had this desire in my heart to see the lost saved for pretty much since the day I gave my life to Jesus, for the first 12 years of my salvation, I saw very little fruit. I could probably count on two hands the number of people I led to Jesus in 12 years with this desire in my heart. I remember I would read the Bible and I would read the amazing things that Jesus and the apostles did, how the multitudes came to salvation, how the sick got healed, and I would look at my life and I would feel this mismatch. Like I can't relate with this, but I know this is meant to be part of our everyday lives. I remember driving to work in the mornings for years, praying the same prayer, working as a chartered accountant, and I would say, Holy Spirit, give me boldness and power to be a witness today. Give me divine appointments and words of knowledge for the people at my workplace. I would get to work. My focus would shift to my work, my task list. I would do my job excellently. And then I would drive home in the evenings feeling disappointed, like my day just looked like everyone else's. And I didn't share Jesus with anyone. Here and there, there were moments, but it was few. And then Stefan and I, we get married 2016. We moved to East London. We live here for 2 years. The first 3 months that we move here, Andre and Sonika preach 3 months straight every Sunday for 12 weeks on physical healing, that Jesus wants to heal people through us. And at the end of every service, the sick are coming forward, they're being prayed for, and people are getting healed. And I remember in the before the first Sunday or the second Sunday, I pray and I say, I don't just want to see Andre up there praying for people. I want to have faith that if I'm standing in front of everyone and someone in a wheelchair comes to me, that Jesus, you'll heal through me as well. And so at the end of I got up and I also pray for people. The first Sunday, I didn't see anyone healed through me. Second Sunday, I didn't see anything. The third Sunday, I pray for a lady who's had an 8-year ankle injury and she's still got pain. And I kneel on the floor and I pray for her, just a raw prayer. Jesus, I know you can heal. Jesus, heal her through me. I get up and she's healed. The pain's gone. And I'm like, wow. And so Monday, I'm at my fairly new job. I'm still meeting people in the kitchen at my workplace. And when healing is on your radar, you realize Jesus wants to heal people. You'll realize how many people around you are sick and in need of this healing power. So I hear everyone that I meet with, they've got something, migraines, endometriosis, cancer. And I'm like, well, Jesus is healing people. He healed people yesterday. I can just pray for them. So I'm not like super bold yet. I just invite the women who need healing into the bathroom and I start praying for them. And one of the first ladies I pray for, I'm going to call her S. She had like chronic insomnia, struggling with insomnia for years on the worst, like on the highest form of chronic medication, and she's not sleeping for more than 5 minutes at a time. She's not entering into that deep sleep, she says, and it's impacting all areas of her life, as you can imagine. And so I pray for her. The next day she comes to work, she says, I slept for 4 hours last night. We pray again. Next day, I sleep for 6 hours. I'm like, wow, how much sleep do you want? Like, I'm more into, I'm into 8 hours, but if you're okay with six. She's like, let's pray again. We pray. Next day, she bursts into our office. She tells everyone, Nastasha prayed for me. If you need prayer for anything, ask her. I slept through my alarm this morning. I slept for 12 hours straight. Hallelujah. Months later, I'm asking, Es, are you still sleeping? Yes, yes. At another moment, the Holy Spirit tugs on my heart for her, says, go share the gospel with her. I go to her, I share what Jesus did on the cross for her. She opens her heart and receives salvation that day. Hallelujah. This is another lady at my work, M, I'm just calling them. And her dad was diagnosed with cancer. We pray for her dad, and then the next time he goes for testing, the cancer's gone. I believe Jesus healed him. Holy Spirit tugs on my heart for her at another point in time. Share these words with her. Another point in time, share the gospel with her. M gets born again at my workplace. And so my boldness started growing. I'm now seeing Jesus touch and save. And so the bathroom ministry goes to the corridors and the passages and the kitchen and the parking lot and the offices and the boardrooms. And on the last day that I, well, in the last month I was working there, I shared a word with the CEO in his office. And so our boldness grows as we just take that step of faith. In about this same time in that first year in East London, there was a lady, she was in the first service, my friend Rachel. And one day, randomly, Rachel comes lunch hour to my work. And it's amazing. We start praying for people in the car, women. They just come in sessions, 10 minutes, and we're praying for people. And Rachel is speaking these things about each woman's past that is so specific, and they are in tears, rededicating their lives to Jesus, getting filled with the Holy Spirit. It's crazy. And afterwards, I look at Rachel, I'm like, how did you get such specific words for these? Like, how do you know this about them? She's like, no, well, I didn't 2 weeks ago. I just, this guy, Festus, that gets these specific words for people. I asked him to pray for me. And now all of a sudden, there's just these specific things that I know about people. Jesus revealing it to me. And I'm like, well, pray for me. And so she prays for me. And just I desire that gift, that God would use me. Because, I mean, if people hear these specific things that God knows about them, it's proof, right? Not just, yes, he knows me. No, he knows me specifically. He loves me. We need to hear his specific voice for the people around us. Anyway, a week later, I'm putting on makeup before work, and this random thought pops in my head about a lady at my workplace, W, and I'm like, wait, I don't know this about her. And I carry on. The Holy Spirit is popping thoughts like that. It seems random. It seems like this gentle thing. And if we just dismiss it, we won't even know he's speaking to us. But I'm like, wait a minute. I asked for words of knowledge a week ago. Maybe this is a word. So I go to work. I go to W. I'm like, can I ask you something? And she says, yes. I'm like, this is the thought that popped into my head. Did your dad pass away when you were really young by any chance? And she's like, yes, when I was 11 years old. I'm like, sure. And the Holy Spirit just starts speaking through me. I'm like, I don't know this about you, but Jesus knows. And he put this thought in my head this morning. And I just feel in this moment, he wants to come and heal your heart. And he wants to come and be that father role in your life right now from today. Can I pray for you? She's like, well, I'm not really religious. I'm like, neither am I. But but I just wanna pray for you like I'm talking to you right now. You don't have to do anything. Is that okay? She says, yes. I pray for her. Jesus comes in that moment, heals her heart, and takes that position as a father in her life. Hallelujah. At another moment in time, Holy Spirit leads me to pray for her knee. Another moment in time, for her daughter, for something specific. She was much older than me. And on the last day that I worked there, I felt the Holy Spirit whisper in my heart, go share your testimony with her. So I go to her office, share my testimony with her, the gospel with her. She says, Nastasha, you know what? Before you, I was so close to God, but I feel like I want to go to church again. Hallelujah. Now, you know, oh, praise Jesus. He wants to speak through each of you, specific words. He wants to heal the sick through you. If you've been baptized with the Holy Spirit, you have the same power that raised Christ from the dead. When you pray for the sick, that a healing anointing flows and they're healed. When you feel a specific word, it flows through you and you get a word of knowledge. When you share the gospel with someone, that evangelistic anointing comes through you and the power to save. Whatever the demand, whatever the need is, it flows through you. If you've been baptized with the Holy Spirit, all you need to do is step out in faith. Hallelujah. Now, you know, I used to think for years with this lady, W, I didn't have relationship with her. The Holy Spirit used me in these 3-4 moments in her life. I was just a vessel in those moments. He's been pursuing her heart since the day she was born and sending people at times in her life to touch her with his love. We think we need to take someone from here when we meet them and do everything. Build, invite them to church, invite them to my house, invite some Christian friends. Hope some of my Christian friends are going to incorporate Jesus and share Jesus with this person, or invite them to church and hope Andre is going to lead them to salvation. And we do so much work. And we think we need to do all of this, but all we need is to be aware of the Holy Spirit when he tugs on our hearts in those little moments. And we get to form a part of leading someone to salvation or opening them up more to Jesus. It's easy when we partner with the Holy Spirit. We need to partner with the Holy Spirit again if we're going to see the lost come to salvation. So, I was seeing little fruit for 12 years when I started partnering with the Holy Spirit in my workplace. I saw many people come to salvation, healed, open to Jesus. It's incredible. And this is for each of you. But you need to desire it. Like it says in 1 Corinthians 12, desire the gifts, desire the Holy Spirit, desire more of his flow through your life. Yeah, I want to share a testimony with you of how powerfully the Lord can use you when you respond to the tug in your heart. Now, many times I get to see a glimpse in people's lives. I meet them for 3 minutes. I sow a seed. I lead them to salvation. But I don't get to see the full picture. With many people, I'll see in eternity what happened, what the Lord did. But there are some people that I get to see what happened afterwards. And so I love those stories. It stirs my faith. And so in 2019, I went jogging one evening, a Friday evening. I ran past a young 19-year-old guy with long curly hair and a black hoodie. And while I'm running, I just feel the Holy Spirit tug on my heart. Say, go, share Jesus' love with him. And so we can so easily ignore that, right? Quench him. But I've learned to respond, to recognize his voice and obey. And so I ran back and I'm like, hey, what's your name? Albert. I'm Nastasha. When I ran past you, I just felt in my heart, Jesus sees you. He notices you. He loves you so much. And he's like, wow, that's amazing. Like in the last 2 weeks, I've just been open to whatever God there is out there. This is amazing that you come to me. And I'm like, wow. And I start sharing with him my testimony of how I became born again. And the Holy Spirit starts stirring Albert's heart. And he just blurts out, well, I don't know what my purpose is. So I'm like, well, Jesus, if he was standing in front of you right now, he knows what your purpose is. We can just ask him. He lives inside of me. And so we're taking that risk, right, that he's going to speak specifically. And we need to learn to take that risk, trusting that he's going to show up. He wants to touch people. And so we pray, Holy Spirit, why did you make Albert? And this picture pops into my head, and I say, I see you in a band, and you're singing. He's like, no way. Me and my friends, we just started a band. And I'm like, and you're singing. You're singing in the band. He's like, yes. I don't know why Jesus shows me this picture, but he feels God knows him specifically. This Jesus that she's talking about must be real. And so he blurts out, well, I don't know how to live out God's purposes for my life. And so Holy Spirit starts speaking through me again, and he says, well, unless Albert Jesus himself comes to live on the inside of you and live out his purposes through you, you won't be able to live out God's plans for your life. And if you want Jesus to come and live inside of you, you need to receive what he's done for you on the cross. You need to ask him, forgive me all my sin, wash it away, and he comes to live on the inside of you with eternal life. Do you want that right now? And he says, yes. And we pray together. And Albert receives salvation. He gets born again. Hallelujah. Now, he lives in the same estate as us. So me and my husband, we befriend him. He comes to our small group. Jesus frees him from drug and substance abuse and depression. Hallelujah. And a few weeks later, my husband, Stefan, gets the opportunity to baptize Albert. There he is. You can go to the next slide. Next one. Amazing. Albert now starts sharing what Jesus has done in his life. He's freely received salvation, and he starts freely giving it to the people around him. He's only 19 years old. He starts leading family members who are not yet born again to Jesus, his old friends to Jesus. He starts going out on the streets in his free time, sharing Jesus on campus as a student, sharing Jesus. There's other people that the Lord has sent from a different church on campus who now start discipling him. He becomes a small group leader, a leader in the church, and he meets an amazing godly Christian woman, Kristen, and in the beginning of last year, they get married. That's them there. Is Albert without his hair. And they start joining our, stepping out outreaches, going into public places, witnessing Jesus, freely giving what they've received, and seeing many lives touched. Kristen, she does a school of evangelism in Cape Town, and in 8 weeks, this group of students of 16 lead 5,004 people to salvation. If you can go to the next slide. Next slide. There, Kristen is preaching the gospel. And so isn't this incredible what the Lord has done? He saved Albert, and look at how many people he's been able to give Jesus to. This is an incredible testimony that I get to play a small part of because I responded to the tug of the Holy Spirit in that moment. This is our privilege. Jesus can do all of this alone, but he chooses to use us as vessels. And if we would just learn to recognize his voice again for the lost, to be alert. It says in Romans 8:14 that the mature children of God are those who are moved by the impulses of the Holy Spirit. This is a way to recognize if you're mature as a son and daughter of God, not by how well you know your Bible, how much you go to church. It says one of the ways that we recognize maturity as a son and a daughter of God is those who are through your day-to-day life and movements, you're able to recognize God's whisper on the inside, the tugging in his heart in those moments. And you respond, you obey. And so I believe the Holy Spirit is awakening hearts right now. where there's been times when we have heard his voice for people, we have seen him move through us, but then there's been times where we've ignored it, seasons where we've just shoved it to the side and dismissed it as random thoughts. The Holy Spirit is right now awakening our hearts again for the harvest. He's stirring a desire, an urgency in our hearts because it's harvest time now. For those friends that you've been friends with for years that's not born again, the Lord is saying, it's not 4 more months and then it's harvest time. It's harvest time. Today is the day of salvation. They are ripe and ready now. Preach the gospel. There's an urgency for lives and souls to come into the kingdom, and the Holy Spirit is ready to move through each one of you.
Thank you for listening. Find more on Shofar East London's podcast channel. Let's do life together.